the drive to create things. You're a writer, a photographer, a musician, a maker. You're ready to make things happen.
But chasing creative isn't always easy. Your time and energy go to your work, your family, and your life. Is it really possible to make space for the creative in your everyday?
Here at the Chasing Creative Podcast, we believe you can. We're everyday creatives who have insights and action steps you can take today to make your creative plans happen.
I'm Ashley Brooks, a freelance writer and editor at Brooks Editorial and a work-at-home mom of two. I would love to devote more time to creative writing, journaling, and blogging.
And I'm Abigail Creeves, a writer and photographer behind Inkwells and Images. I'm also a work-at-home mom who is just beginning to learn the ropes of balancing a baby and everything else.
And you are listening to the Chasing Creative Podcast. Welcome to Season 4, Episode 25, and our last episode of the season for Season 4 of Chasing Creative. So today we are talking about creating in the chaos, because most of us have plans and dreams for the way we want our lives to go, but here in the real world, life is messy and unpredictable, and things rarely go as planned. So when things go off the rails, creativity can seem like the first thing that needs to take a hit, because it's not, quote unquote, essential compared to other things. And sometimes scaling back on your creative work is necessary, but we also believe there are ways that we can prioritize creating even when we're living in times of chaos. So I think pretty much everybody has faced a chaotic season in their life, but what are some that we have recently been facing?
I definitely think that everyone faces chaotic seasons, and some I think last longer than others is maybe the defining factor.
Yes.
But for me, like the entire probably 2.5 years in recent history have been chaotic. Finding out we were pregnant kind of accidentally, and then building a house and getting laid off and having a new baby and the first baby. And he just didn't sleep for the first 5 months of his life. That was kind of my recipe for a chaotic life. I feel like I haven't been grounded and settled for a very long time. So I think while no season is ever without chaos, at least for anyone who's trying to be a better person or make something big, I mean, there's always opposition. And I think if you're getting pushback in a chaotic season, it's probably because you're doing the work you're supposed to be doing. So I just keep thinking, like, why on earth am I continuing to try to create things while I'm doing all of this other thing or other crazy things? And I think the answer is because I feel like I should be doing it. So what about you? Do you have a chaotic season in memory?
Yeah, that's really good insight about feeling like that's the thing that you're supposed to be doing. So I think that anytime there's a new baby in your life, there is going to be some chaos. And Hadley, my oldest, was especially tough for me, both because she was a more difficult baby than her sister, and also because that transition from not being a parent to being a parent is such a huge adjustment. And I think people think of like, oh, having two kids is a big adjustment, or having three kids is a big adjustment. But for me, I cannot imagine there being a bigger adjustment than going from just having to take care of myself to having to take care of this other tiny person. And it was just this huge shift that took me a really long time to adjust to. And my creative life suffered a lot during the months postpartum with Hadley, because I was not expecting it to be that bad. So I didn't give myself the time and space that I really needed to figure out what life was going to look like now. And now that I'm expecting baby number three, So Hadley's going to be four this summer. So 4 years later, I'm expecting my third baby. And, things are kind of feeling up in the air again, where my husband and I are working on debating through a lot of big life decisions involving my husband's work, involving potentially renovating our house or potentially moving from our house, having another baby, obviously. And it sort of just feels like not necessarily a season of chaos, but a season of big decisions and waiting and not necessarily having control over pretty big aspects of your life that you usually would like to have control over and feel like there's some stability there. So it's been very difficult for me in this current season of, I guess I would call it low-key chaos, probably about to ramp up to real chaos once the new baby is here, just because it's tough for me as somebody who likes to plan to know that next year our lives could look drastically different in almost every way.
Yes, I completely identify with that. That's kind of how I felt becoming a mom. I wasn't expecting to become a mom and became a mom and had, you know, then was expecting to keep working part-time and then got laid off. And so post-baby, like that 3 months of pre-baby to post-baby, just January to April or, you know, February to April, like my life took a 180 degree twist and absolutely nothing was the same as it was before. And that was hard. And so I completely understand where you're like looking at this is like, this might be completely life altering.
Yeah. And the crazy thing about being pregnant is like, nobody wants to be pregnant for any longer than the nine or 10 months or whatever it actually is that you're pregnant. But like you get pregnant and all of a sudden you're like, oh, like a year from now I will have a child. and it's like you don't necessarily want to be pregnant for longer than you have to be, but also you're like, oh, that's like less than a year away and my whole life is going to change. And I think that's sort of the thing about chaos, is one of the things that makes it chaotic is it sneaks up on you. You can't always see it coming. So what sort of ways have you been able to prioritize creativity? Because pretty much the whole season that you described, that, you know, planning on building your house and moving and being pregnant and being a first time mom, that's all happened while we've been recording the podcast, if you think about it.
It has
so
been.
You've obviously managed to prioritize creativity somehow. How did you do it?
Yes, I've managed to prioritize this podcast, at least. Maybe not my own, you know, personal projects, but that is the fault of the obliger in me. As we have discussed at length in previous episodes. I think going into, because we were going into the season of building the house, like knowing we're going into the season, we're going to be living in this temporary apartment, we're not going to have the internet. Like we were kind of going off grid while we were building. And so I knew that all of that was going to be crazy. And I was also like working two jobs at the time. It was insanity. And when I really think about it, we were insane people. So I knew to give myself permission to not keep writing a novel or to stress about word counts or anything like that. I kind of really was approaching at least the building the house season with this very like loose grip on my goals for the year. Other than the fact that like we wanted to come back with a season two after you were done with maternity leave for Reagan. And so more than anything, I was like battling those creative deadlines for the podcast and not for myself. And I remember that was a season where I didn't have internet at all. And so I would record at the library at like 8 p.m. I would find a study room and text you and be like, okay, I'm ready. And we would hop on the podcast. And that was crazy. But I also feel like it was hard, but it was worth it. And I think being able to, in that season of chaos, be able to like check in and like keep going down a list of podcast tasks and see a finished project, even if it wasn't perfect, was still kind of a little bit of therapy for me. It was nice that we did a really short season, so we definitely scaled back from what we had done in season one, but it was still helped me keep at least a little bit of a focus on creativity, at least enough to provide like a continuum of before building the house and after building the house. Like there was a project I was working on and I didn't have to start from scratch when chaos ended.
Yes.
It kind of all changed when we also found out we were pregnant shortly after we started building the house. That got a little more chaotic. But I know that having a project to focus on helped in so many ways. So that is my encouragement to people. Even if you are in chaos and think it might just be best to like wash your hands of everything and start back later, it's so much easier to just keep going even a little tiny bit rather than like drop everything and have to pick it all up later.
Yeah, and I felt very similarly about season two of the podcast, actually, because like you said, I was postpartum with Reagan at that point, and it was It would have been so easy for both of us, I think, to just be like, let's not do this right now. And mm-hmm. season two was a short season yes. for us. And we just did what we had to do to make it as simple as possible for ourselves. And I'm glad that we did, like you said, because it sort of kept some sort of momentum going. Mm-hmm. And it provided a re-entry for me into the creative world rather than just prioritizing work, because I gave myself a maternity leave from work that then I had to return from. Mm-hmm. And it would have been very easy for me to just be like, well, I'm busy with the baby, I'm busy with work, I don't have time for the creative stuff right now. So having that, like you said, a creative outlet that wasn't necessarily starting over from the beginning and that was also a collaboration, mm-hmm. I think made it a lot easier. And then it helped that we're talking about creativity, so it was almost like therapeutic, at yes. least on my end. That was definitely a good project to have during that sort of up in the air time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think the most therapeutic season that we've done for me was season 3, which we did after I got in the house. I feel like we were in the house. We'd moved in. But before I had Arthur this last spring, so almost a year mm-hmm. ago now, when people are listening to this, which is also insane.
Yes.
And I feel like I was in a place where, well, and you had offered advice, or I had asked for your advice. You didn't just be like, hey, this is my advice. So Ashley's not like that. So knowing like everything that you had said about, you know, coming back to work after Hadley and you'd come back too soon and you wish you'd given yourself a longer dive, and then seeing you come back to creativity after Reagan. And I remember you'd blocked yourself out like a full 3-month maternity leave. And I think you wanted to start recording. We started recording at maybe like 8 weeks when Reagan was 8 weeks old. And so seeing you like very confident, knowing like I thought I was going to need 12 weeks and I only needed 8. And that feels so much better than the opposite, not giving yourself enough time and coming back too soon. And so I really felt like season 3 was like pre-baby therapy for me. We talked to so many really accomplished women who were also mothers as well, and they had great advice. And I think in that season, I kind of started getting it as far as like life is going to look very, very different from now. It will be a good different, but it will be different.
Yeah, it is kind of nice that we've had the chance to talk to so many other women who are either at the same place that we are and we can see that they're surviving and mm-hmm. thriving, or they're a few steps ahead of us and we can see like, oh, it does get better. Yeah. Like eventually your children don't need diapers and they can hold their own spoon. So yes. Being able to see that, I think, has been really helpful for both of us. For me, prioritizing creativity, especially right after Hadley was born, was very difficult because this podcast did not exist yet. And I did just kind of feel really lost. I did not leave myself enough time, like I said, to sort of adjust into my new role as a parent. And I jumped back into client work before I was ready to, but I had already made those commitments and didn't feel like I could back away from them. And so there was a long time, like a couple of months, where I was not doing any sort of creative writing or journaling. At one point I tried keeping up some sort of a like letters that I was writing to Hadley, where I thought that she would like look back on them someday and be like, oh, these are so great. But if I look back and read them now, they're very stilted and formal. And like, this is what I feel like I am supposed to say about motherhood. But I know that none of them were actually what I was feeling. I don't even think I have them anymore. I think I just threw them away because I was like, these are worthless. I don't want her to ever read this and think that this is like what it was like, because it was not. So once I finally did leave myself space to start journaling and pursuing those more creative activities is kind of what brought me back to that better place. And then from there is when I was able to open myself up to even more creative ideas like the podcast, mm-hmm. And pursuing extra things like that. Like that did not happen until I gave myself the space to sort of find myself again through journaling and through reading and through just those creative activities that sort of feel like home or that make you mm-hmm. feel like yourself.
Absolutely. I think that was really, really smart for you to be like, hey, I want to start a podcast about this because I think other people might need it too. And I mean, here I am. I needed it. So thank you.
Yes, you are welcome. Yeah.
And I like that you're kind of entering this third maternity leave as well with a little bit of a maybe a different perspective from either of your previous ones.
Yeah, so I am trying to give myself a lot of grace about what the next couple of months are going to look like as far as both work and the creative process go. So I'm not really setting any expectations this time until I figure out what kind of baby this is, because I've had what I consider a fairly difficult baby and a fairly easy baby. And you just never know what you're going to get. You don't know what your baby's personality is going to be, how they're going to sleep, how they're going to eat. You know, there's so many different things that could just take your life in different directions than you expect. And so holding everything really loosely and not having too much of a plan is kind of my plan for right now. Yeah. And I do think that when I get back to work, which I'm planning on doing mid to late summer, I am going to be pursuing childcare for the first time, which is not something that I've had in the past. Hadley is in part-time preschool right now, but I think it's only like 9 hours a week, and that does not include time driving to pick her up and drop her off.
It's part-time.
Yes, it is very part-time. So she's going to go for, it'll still be part-time, so not every day of the week, but she's going to go for full days next year just because I didn't foresee myself being able to do a noon pickup with two children in tow and remain sane. Mm-hmm. So she's going to go for a full day next year, which is still, you know, preschool full day is not like a strenuous day. And then I'm going to look into childcare options for one or maybe 2 days a week for the new baby and for Reagan, just to sort of give myself dedicated work days so that I don't have to feel like I'm pulled in so many different directions on the days that I'm not working. Because right now, it's my days sort of are like, okay, we've got this really loose routine, and for the most part, it works, but also, like, I need to give both kids my attention when they need it. And also I have to think about things like feeding them and cleaning up after feeding them. And also I need to check in on my email and do little bits of work here and there. And also I would like to do some journaling. And it would just be so much easier if work was taken out of the equation and put into its own little box. Yes. And then if my workday didn't take up an entire day of childcare, hey, look, there's room left over for other creative pursuits. So it has taken me three children, but I think I'm finally admitting that I am not a failure if I seek out help in that area.
That is really, really smart. And I'm glad you're giving yourself permission to at least explore that, because it is hard when you think, like, I'm going to be a stay-at-home mom and I'm going to work too. If those two things don't work out exactly like you were anticipating, it can feel really, I mean, like failure, like you said. I just this week started calling around to try to find like even 1 day a week daycare for Arthur, because I think it would be good for him and for me. And I think it would, like you said, free up a lot of that anxiety that you feel like you have to be both employee and mom at the same time all day, every day. And that's hard.
It is. Yeah. And I think there's kind of going back, maybe tying into our budget episode that we did a couple weeks ago, but that feeling that like it's hard to justify paying for childcare when you are technically home and you can technically earn the same amount of money without spending more for somebody to watch your kids. But there's a point where you just have to look at your mental health and be like, maybe this is worth it. Mm-hmm. And then there's a point where it's like, maybe you'll be able to take on more work than you realize, because you'll actually be able to focus on something for more than 30 seconds at a time. Yes. And you will earn more money. So I think that's a little bit of the pressure that we feel too, is when you stay home, you feel like one of the reasons you're doing that is to save money.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of times you are, and sometimes it's maybe not the only reason. But I think too, we often get stuck, and I am so guilty of this, get stuck in the idea that if we make a change, that change has to be permanent. And so mm-hmm. I kind of even, you know, was talking with Scott. I'm like, do we do daycare for Arthur? Like, I just don't know what the right answer is. And we kind of like landed on the idea that, you know, we can try it. And if one day a week isn't enough, we can try 2 days a week. Or if both of us hate it and neither of us are thriving in this new setup, we can quit. Like, there is, you don't sign a daycare contract. So that's also a thought process. I think that we need to take a look at sometimes, like if we try something and it doesn't work, we can quit doing that thing.
Yeah. And that's something that I think so many people forget about. You think that if you do this thing, you're like locked in forever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, no, you're not. Like, you can change up what you do at any time to make sure that it's still working for you and your family. And I think that's really important to remember. So are there any ways that we can prepare for chaotic seasons if we know they're coming? So like a pregnancy might surprise you, but then you've got 9 months until the baby.
You got a few months to figure it out.
Yeah. So how do we sort of get ourselves ready for a season that we know might not be so creatively productive?
So I am a planner extraordinaire when it comes to this kind of question. So physically, mm-hmm. I think we can do all that we can do, and then we kind of have to let it be, which is not easy for me. So I know planning for maternity leave, I tried to take care of everything that I could do then that I didn't want to do later, to like free up future Abby's time and energy. So I know ahead of maternity leave, I mean, aside from, you know, the tried and true tips of putting freezer meals in the freezer and all of that kind of thing, I tried to schedule out all of the social media updates for my blog and our podcast and all of that ahead of time. I tried to get, like, I went to the dentist the week I was due so that I could get that out of the way and know that I wouldn't have to do it again for 6 months. So even just trying to think ahead, like, oh, it's going to be a really chaotic September, October because little Johnny is in soccer and we're going to have games 2 nights a week and tournaments every weekend. Like if you're facing something that you know is going to be a harder season, doing what you can to kind of lighten the load in every other area of life for that season can be a big help, both I think physically and like mentally.
Yeah. And that's a spot where like, I'm not great at that. Like, I like to make plans in my head of how I want things to go, but I'm not great at that actual, like, physically week by week or month by month, like, doing the tasks that will actually make those plans run more smoothly. So that's somewhere where I could probably use some of your advice and just be like, no, do this thing, plan this ahead. Or if anybody wants tips on doing that, we are always big fans of Kendra Adachi at The Lazy Genius. Mm-hmm. And she's got a lot of podcasts and blog resources about, you know, meal planning and keeping your house clean and things like that. Just, you know, those mundane things that still have to happen, even in topsy-turvy seasons of life, where you can take her advice and make things maybe a little bit more streamlined for your future self, like you were saying.
So what are you like doing to kind of prepare yourself for this next season of chaos?
Yeah, basically just not having any expectations for myself whatsoever. Nice. I'm almost thinking of it as like summer break, which is kind of nice. And just seeing where it goes, I think, because after Hadley, I needed more time to not do anything. And after Reagan, I didn't really feel like myself until I did start doing things mm-hmm. again, until I jumped back into work and back into regular life. And I don't think you know how that's going to go. So in general, for a chaotic season, I guess I don't know how I would prepare. I think I would try to stay as flexible as I can because I understand my need or my want to control everything, mm-hmm. even though I actually can't. So, you know, reading up on resources with that sort of theme behind them and just practicing different little things every day to remind yourself to like let things go and have that flexibility that doesn't come naturally to me.
So any tips for kind of incorporating creativity into a season that you know is going to be chaotic?
Oh, this is such a tough question. And I think just knowing which creative acts feel like home to you. Like that sounds so ridiculous, but that's, that's how it feels to me. Like if I'm reading a book, I feel like myself. Mm-hmm. And if I'm writing a journal entry, I feel like myself. So like if a journal feels even like too much, maybe I need to just pick up a book, maybe even an old favorite that I don't feel like I need to concentrate mm-hmm. on too much. That can be enough for me to sort of keep one foot in that door and not feel like I've totally lost my creative self, and maybe even like not listening or following people who are, and we've talked about this before, but not pursuing resources that are going to tell us to do things that we mm-hmm. don't have time to do right now, because that's just going to make you feel more guilty and like you should be doing more stuff, even though it's a season where you know you can't. So just honing in on those things that make you feel like you, and then making space for those creative projects, even if it's just doing one very small thing a day or even a week, just to keep you sane.
Yes, I definitely think that is great advice. And I think too, I wish I had done this a little bit better before my crazy season, but coming up with kind of a mini plan to address situations that you know might happen. And I think for you, you know, knowing that this is your third kid, you kind of know what it's going to look like. You don't know what kind of baby you're going to get, but you've done the whole hormone roller coaster before. You kind of know how that's going to go, which is awful. So I think I wish I had done better at planning ahead and giving myself like some little, not activities, but maybe responses. Like, I feel like I'm losing myself right now. And while the smart thing to do is do the dishes, because that's what needs to be done, the healthy thing is to sit and read for 15 minutes or sit and journal or something like that. Like, not even thinking the best use of my time, but the healthiest use of my time, if that makes any sense. Mm.
And that is so counter to how, at least in America, to how we are trained mm-hmm. to think and how we're used to thinking. Like, we are so used to finding our value and like, how was your day today? Well, how often do we answer the question, how was your day, based on how much you got done?
Yes.
Like, that's versus like, oh, well, the house is a mess, or like, I didn't get any work done, but I feel really good. Mm-hmm. Like, how often do we ever stop and look at it that way? So I love that. That is brilliant.
Yeah. So I'm hoping that I can use that in seasons going forward. But like you, I think my biggest advice is just to pick like the tiniest thing that makes you feel whole and try to do it as often as possible. Like one sentence a day, one photo a week, like little touchstones kind of that you can look forward to. I think that was really important for me, especially in that postpartum season, like having something, like even taking like the ridiculous little like photos of Arthur each month with the little blocks in his name. Like, it was something that kind of mm-hmm. marked the time for me and felt like, okay, we're making progress. Like, this is forward motion, even when it felt like we weren't. So that was really important. Know yourself and pick something you know is going to just like light you up a little. And whether that is like picking up a bouquet of flowers at the grocery store each week when you go, or something, like pick something that you'll be able to look forward to and that you know is going to be simple but still bring you joy. And that'll help you kind of focus in the middle of all that chaos and get through it.
Yes, totally, totally agree. So we have already touched on this a little bit for me with having another baby and maternity leave and hopefully just giving myself some space to preserve my mental and emotional energy. But what is coming up for you in the next couple of months while we're on break? And is there any sort of chaos that you might be living with?
Yeah, I am not having another baby, which I am very thankful to say. I know you're excited for yours, but I don't think I could do two under two. I'm not sure how you do it.
Well, as someone who is in the tail end of the third trimester as we're recording this, I am excited about the baby. Mm-hmm. I am excited to have another person in our household, but I am not super excited to still be pregnant and still have to go through labor and delivery. So
yeah,
I hear you.
Yeah,
I understand.
So I don't know. I don't really have a ton of plans for this year. We kind of talked about both of us having really bizarre un-goals for the year. They're goals, but they're not really goals. I mean, I just want to get outside as the weather finally warms up here in the Midwest. I don't know if you guys are still battling this too, but it's been like, it's been 45 and then 30 and then 47 and then 28. And it's just been kind of like a real roller coaster here. So wanting to get outside and just like move and breathe fresh air. And then also a loose goal that I'm kind of setting for myself while we're on a break is kind of getting out of my comfort zone a little bit more now that the worst of our baby days are kind of behind us for the time period. I know I very much in the last 11 months or so really hunkered down and stayed close to home and kind of prioritized nap times and all of that. And now that Arthur is approaching a year, I kind of feel like we've got a little bit more wiggle room in between naps and a little bit more wiggle room with like going out to eat with him and things. It's just getting more and more manageable. And so I want to kind of take advantage of that now while we only have one kid and get out, you know, see friends a little bit more than we have and just do things that we haven't really done for the last, year and a half while we were, you know, hunkered down in building and then hunkered down in those crazy baby days. And one thing I'm really hoping too is to kind of get back into writing for myself. I really liked writing for Hello There Friend while it was up and running. That was a really fun way to dive back in after kind of not writing at all for a long time. And I'm hoping that I can translate that practice into a practice of my own and get me blogging more consistently. And I know while Ashley is on maternity leave, I'll also be focusing on a bit of a new project called the Exhale Podcast, which is part of a program that the writers at Coffee and Crumbs have dreamed up. It's called Exhale Creativity, and it's a membership site where you can go and sign up, and they're really focused on blending kind of that intersection of where motherhood and creativity meet. And so I will be helping to host a podcast kind of behind the scenes there with one of the writers about just topics on writing and creativity and how those two things blend together and make each other better because of it. And so that's what I will be doing a little bit while you're on maternity leave, which is going to be fun to still be podcasting, but it'll be sad that you're not here.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that new project for you and to hear more about how it turns out as it continues moving forward. And the intersection of motherhood and creativity is definitely something that we have touched on here over and over again ourselves and with our guests and with each new baby that we have continued to one of us has always been pregnant on this podcast.
It's really bad.
So,
yeah.
So we have been definitely those rhythms of motherhood have come up a lot here. And so I'm excited to see what sort of conversations you're able to have in that space over there. I think anybody who has really enjoyed those conversations here would do well to go check that out and, you know, see if that might be something that could help their creative lives even further. Mm-hmm. As far as my plans, I am, like I said, not planning on much of anything. And I think I'm actually going to be focusing a little bit more on my business once I sort of come out of that postpartum haze. That's something that I've still been working, but I've taken my foot off the gas pretty much completely for this entire pregnancy. And I've been shifting the direction that my business is going to go. I'm going to focus more on corporate clients and sort of let go of that whole idea that I need to be part of the creative entrepreneur community. And instead, I think I'm just going to focus on serving quote unquote more boring clients because they are clients that I enjoy working for. I don't have to hustle as hard to market to them. Mm-hmm. And so shifting my business in that way is something that I'm probably going to focus on once I am ready to come back from maternity leave. And then once I get that aspect of my business and hopefully childcare running a little bit more on autopilot, I, like you said, would like to focus more on my own creative writing. It was really fun to be writing for Hello There Friend and to have those deadlines holding us accountable.
Yes.
And like even in just the couple months that we have not been writing for them, I've noticed a decline in the amount that I've been journaling because I don't feel like I have to constantly be mining my brain for potential stories. I just have not been pushing myself as much. And I would really like to get into a habit of finding really great sites to submit my work to, and to continue publishing those essays, maybe even on my blog, even if I don't feel like going through a whole submissions process, and potentially even working on that novel draft that I started a couple of months ago. And I definitely have no solid goals for that because I am not a crazy person. And I know there is probably no way that it's going to make any big progress during at least the first 6 to 12 months of having a new baby, because that's pretty much survival mode time. So, so those are my plans. There's nothing too concrete there. It's sort of just a turning outward towards family. And like you said, getting outside and, focusing on the business and maybe earning a little bit more money for a little bit and letting the creative stuff just sort of flow and see what happens.
Yeah, I like that. And that is the best part, I think, about a spring baby, is it's easier to get outside in June, July, August than it is in December, January, February. So makes it a little easier for everyone to get a bit of fresh air and kind of get the wiggles out. So that's nice.
For sure. Yeah, and so along sort of those same lines of me not knowing what I'm going to be doing for the next couple of months, we also have no idea what we're going to be doing for the next season of this podcast. Yeah. We don't know when we're coming back, which we normally don't. We usually try to take at least a couple months off, mm-hmm. and we never set like a hard return date because we have always been working around new babies and maternity leaves, and we want to give ourselves all the space that we need to navigate that. Mm-hmm. But even the format of this podcast, so we used to interview some really amazing creative guests, and we stepped away from that this season to make more space for us. And so we're just not totally sure what that's going to look like in the future. We just know that we want to keep producing a quality podcast and focus on, still being able to create something that helps our listeners, but that also fits into our lives, whatever they may look like at the moment.
Yes, which seems to be constantly changing. And we loved interviewing guests, and I think it's something we want to do again someday, but it is a lot of work, and I don't think we're quite ready to take that on yet with all of our weird bedtime routines and things going on in our own individual lives. It's a lot less stressful to just be Ashley and I. So we're not really sure what shape the podcast is going to take, and we're not really sure when we'll be back or how often we'll be releasing episodes. But when we do figure it out, we will let you know. And probably the best place to find out that information when we do know it is by following either of us on Instagram. You're at Brooks Editorial and I'm Abigail E. Krebs. Or you can also sign up for the Chasing Creative Podcast newsletter, and we will put a link to that in the show notes. And we usually, while we forget to send out any kind of announcement about individual episodes, we usually at least remember to send out an announcement if there's an entire new season to tune into. So we promise to do that at least.
Yeah, this is like the most low maintenance email list you will ever sign up for. We will literally only remind you when we're coming back for a new season. So if you get one email a year from us, that would be probably about the average. Yeah. So you don't have to worry about any sort of inbox clutter from us because we do not have time for that.
We should maybe get better about that, but we're not going to. Let's be real.
Yes.
Let's have one last hurrah of a mini book club here at the end of episode 25 and season 4. So what have you been reading lately, Ashley?
Okay, so I am so excited for our last mini book club because I think we both have good picks for this one. Mine is another nonfiction book. I recently finished Decisive, How to Make Time or How to Make Better Choices in Life and Work by Chip Heath and Dan Heath. And this book is particularly interesting to include with this podcast about being in a season of chaos and maybe trying to make plans for things, because often chaotic seasons are chaotic because they come with a lot of choices, mm-hmm. and you don't always know how to tackle those decisions, whether they're big or small. And this book is just a really, really fascinating look at how most people make decisions and why that particular decision-making process is flawed, and what we can do to make choices that better align with what we want out of our lives and what we want at work. There's a little bit of a business bent to it, but not too much. I would say it's still focused towards a general audience. So if you're not working in corporate America or you're not running a business, you don't necessarily have to worry about it not being applicable to you. But there are a lot of practical strategies. There's lots of real life examples. Everything from, like, should I break up with my boyfriend or girlfriend, to should I move to a new city to take that new job? Like, very real life situations that people are facing every day and don't really know how to approach. So whether you are an intuitive, emotional decision maker, or whether you're very logical with your pro-con lists, they will give you a lot of good resources in this book with just tons of strategies for how to make those better decisions in your life, I guess.
Yeah, that sounds really good, and like one that I definitely want to check out. I know I read Made to Stick by Chip and Dan Heath, I don't know, 6 or 7 years ago. And it was all about how ideas stick in the brain, like the psychology behind ideas. And that was really fascinating. So I imagine if they've written a book on decision making, it is equally intelligent.
It was definitely a good read. And so, I mean, if you're somebody who's like not at all interested in decision making or doesn't, like, you don't feel like you struggle with that, then maybe that's not the book for you. But yes, I enjoyed it. So yeah. What have you been reading?
I am currently, like, I don't know, 7/8 of the way through Bear Town by Frederick Bachman. And you read this, I don't know, 6 months or so ago and gave it a glowing review after I had glowingly reviewed his A Man Called Ove. So I was really excited to dive into Bear Town, and I picked up a copy at Half Price Books a month or so ago and started reading it last week. And it is the first book I've read this year that I just am constantly thinking about all the time. And I want to, like, read as much as possible. And I have had so very little time to read lately. It's so good. I feel like it's one of those books that if it was less well written, it would need more plot. But it doesn't.
Yes.
Like, I remember looking at the page number when the inciting incident happens that, like, the rest of the book is all about, and it's well into page, like, 150. And so you're solidly into this book before anything actually happens, but you don't care. Like, you are learning all about the characters, and I feel like every single paragraph is so well crafted. It's just a marvelous novel, and I can see why you gave it a glowing recommendation, and I'm really excited to finish it, and I kind of want to stop recording right now so that I can go do that.
I am so glad that you're liking it. Yes. So far, I don't think that the ending is going to be like a deal breaker for you. So, but the writing is so good, and like you said, the inciting incident happens fairly well into the book, but you already are so invested in this huge cast of characters. There are a lot of people in this book, and somehow you know them all. You can somewhat empathize with all of them from all their different perspectives. Mm-hmm. And it's just incredibly well written. And I'm very excited that it's a trilogy, because you're going to follow some of those same characters again in subsequent books. And the second one is coming out sometime this spring.
Ooh.
It's coming in the next couple of months, I think.
Good.
So you read it at a good time.
I did.
To move right on to the next one. I have had to wait, and I'm like, why is this coming out after my due date? Now I'm afraid I'm not going to have enough brain cells to fully appreciate the second book, but I'm very excited for it. And I'm really glad that you liked the first one, because it's got quite a different tone from what I understand from A Man Called Ove.
Yes. It's not as funny as Ove, but I don't, it's still amazing and good and wonderful. So I would recommend it to anyone. And I think you even mentioned this when you talked about it on the podcast a while back. It's so relevant. Like the conversations that the book is having about being part of a community and being part of a team and consent and all of that kind of thing. It's all weaving together into one like final conclusion that I can't really wait to get to.
Yeah. Yeah. It even gets in a little bit into the power of groupthink and like local community politics, which is so interesting because that's very relevant and applicable here in America, even though the author is not American.
Yeah.
Very fascinating when you think about like, oh, it's so relevant to all these things that we're dealing with. And then it's like, oh, this is written by somebody who is not living this reality in America right now. So very, very good book. Yes. I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. And we're not going to
recommend to everybody.
We're not going to give any spoilers, but it is fabulous. And I would recommend it for like any kind of reader. I don't think there's a single person that I wouldn't recommend it for.
So now that our last mini book club is done with, it is time to say goodbye for the season, but we hope that you will stay in touch with us. Like we said, we're primarily on Instagram these days, but you can also catch us on Twitter at Abigail E. Krebs and at Brooks Editorial, and we hope to talk to you there.
Yeah, and when we come back, Ashley will have another cute baby.
Hopefully. Thanks for listening to the Chasing Creative podcast. If you like what you heard in this episode, be sure to stop by chasingcreative.com to check out the show notes, catch up on past episodes, and subscribe to the podcast.
If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love it if you'd leave us a review on iTunes. You can also join in the creative conversation by tweeting to us at Abigail E. Krebs or at Brooks Editorial, or by using the hashtag ChasingCreative on Twitter and Instagram.
If you'd like to help us bring this podcast to life each week, find us on Patreon at patreon.com/chasingcreative.
And if you have any feedback for us, drop us a line at chasingcreativepodcast@gmail.com.
Thanks for listening. Until next week, go chase your creative.